spend some time, you know, some part of next year, and try and have those meetings, have that education, do more education on the topic, and see if we can do better in that regard to maybe identify if there is a greater level of public support, or at least ensure there's more education. Because if you as aldermen believe more people would support it if they just understood it better, that was some of the concern. Alderman Taylor raised the question about, you know, not enough information on response time out there. You know, we had a very thorough report out there available online. Obviously, we didn't send all 27 pages to all 14,000 addresses, but we had about 130 people download it. So of the 2,300 who responded, probably no more than 130 of them actually looked at the full data behind the request. So is the referendum viable? If so, do you do it this year or a future year? If you want to pursue it now, then there's probably two main questions to consider. Do you do one question or multiple questions? There are options in that regard statutorily. Staff definitely leans toward, and the mayor, toward just put one question out there. More questions we think would be confusing or misleading. Maybe split votes if you ask for different things. So, but I wanted to make sure you were aware that, that it was an option or a consideration. And then what dollar amount to be included in the referendum? The survey had one number. Sue talked about the dollar amount being, it sounded like she implied that that was probably a primary consideration. And there are some options there. And I'll talk about those briefly. This is the sample question. It was prepared in compliance with the statutory requirements by Chris Smith of the city attorney's office. And this, if you had just one question that addressed both police and fire, this could be the question. Where it has numbers to be filled in, the first two numbers are based upon the equalized values that the state will publish on August 15th, so we can calculate those first two. And then if the Common Council wanted to ask for more, we'd figure out what those numbers is and fill that in the bottom half. So this is what the sample question could be. So the dollar amount to consider, what was put in the survey presented figures based upon ensuring the property tax levy authorized in the referendum would equal the estimated staff costs 10 years in the future. So I'll explain that graphically. It'll make more sense. But that was the basis for the number that was included in the survey, both for police and fire. And if you're looking at saying, well, as Sue suggested, it's the tax number, the tax impact that, that will affect people, the ways you can impact that number, alter it if you'd like to pursue a referendum but maybe don't want it to be the size that was presented in the survey, you can impact the number of staff, timeline funded, and then those will alter the tax levy impact. And I'll talk a little bit about those, but it won't take too much. So this table here that shows the cash flow survey, basically it says if you start this and start staff, and I use the fire department in this example, and you run out through the years from 2019 to 2038, the tax you collect is fixed, the amount you set in the referendum. It's not allowed to incline or increase. You can't build in a percentage increase. But the expenditure does increase over time. As you know, staff costs go up. And so you can see that cost from where you have the first year and second year. The reason there's the big jump is it's assumed phased in, half the people at one part of the year, second half coming in later, I believe. And so in the early years, you end up not spending as much as you're actually collecting based upon the referendum. And we presume that you would then keep those. So graphically, you have something that looks like this. Your revenue, the tax referendum is flat, but your expenditures continue to increase. So in those first 9 years, you have sort of retained revenues. We save those, set them aside, account for them separately, so that we guarantee that over time, all of those monies collected, even the early years where the amount exceeded the expenditure, it's retained and eventually spent on that. And where that comes into play is after that 10th year, in the example that was put in the survey, That's your break-even year. Your expenditures are estimated to equal your revenue. And then beyond that, your expenditures, you start spending those retained revenues because your tax levy amount being collected annually is less than the amount of your expense. But for the first 9 years or so after that, until those retained revenues are all spent out, until in this case, it's about the first quarter of 2038, all those revenues are gone. So the catch with the way the state sets the statute such that you can only have a fixed levy is that when you look at it this way, at the end, you have an unfunded shortfall going forward once you've spent out those retained revenues. And at this case, it actually amounts to about $800,000 in the fire example. Now, we can do some accounting things that can help affect that when we get to this point, when you get to the, you know, 2028, 2029, we can lower this line, use part of it, slowly phase in operating costs and do this and figure out how to extend it. Also, you have a TIF that's going to have about $400,000, I think, coming the city's way right about this year and right about this year. So there are options to do that if you want to pursue it. But if I didn't point out the fact that the way the state sets up the statute with a fixed revenue amount and an expenditure increasing, I wanted to make sure you're aware of that impact.
Mark, how does that fit in with our regular budgeting with the rest of the levy? Is it kind of set on the side in its own?
We would account for it separately, but it when someone gets a tax bill, well, I think they have you identify now referendum amounts separately, but it would just always be there.
So it's always separate, and it's not in any consideration for the rest with the rest of the budget. It's dedicated for the
yes rest. And you know, even if statutorily they had any flexibility there, I don't think anybody would ever consider doing that. If you take a referendum question and say we're using this money for this purpose, we're going to make sure we account for it, just like we do impact fees. It's very strict accounting and used for the purposes allowed. So that's sort of how it works. And when we talk about how you can then impact the numbers, I'll talk about that here. You know, we chose to have this occur out in year 10, set the levy amount requested to what the expenditure amount in year 10 was. One thing South Milwaukee did was set a lower one. And so I wanted to make sure you understood those. So I actually worked out all those examples. And it's basically changing this line so that the intersection point you can move back and you shorten everything up. You solve the problem for a less amount of time, but you reduce the levy. And all of that is shown on this table. So I've added the fire department and the police department. For purposes of this example, we did reduce the police department staffing to 2. One of the officers that they had talked about in conversation with the police chief, one of the offers they talked about was primarily focused on the school side of thing. So we he decided to suggest backing that one out. I do have the numbers if it's retained, if you want to see those. But for this example, you have the fire department. And you can see, if you, instead of having it match the 10-year number, you could back it up to the 8-year number, and the fire department amount goes from 1650 to 1526. Your tax levy impact goes from $45 to about $42. And you end up using up all those retained amounts from 2038 to 2035. So I only use these examples, this 10-year average, that was basically the South Milwaukee strategy. Our concern is staff and the mayor's with just a 10-year solution. 10 years is not that long in the life of government operations. And to be 10 years and then turn around and say, okay, well, thanks for that referendum, and now we've got to figure out if we can retain them because there's a $400,000 unfunded shortfall to resolve. So that was one of the reasons that it was set at 10 years as the base level for the survey itself. But if you were looking to still have a survey and reduce the numbers, this table really lets you see what you can reduce the number to if you kept the full amount of staffing, and then how long out it would last. Again, you could reduce the number of staffing. You know, not go for 9 fire department officers or members and do a smaller number. Again, now you would be talking to the police chief or fire chief about what are the service impacts of that, because obviously 9 is 3 shifts, 3 people, so you're basically, you know, adding that much consistent service. You go below that, you're now changing that total level. He can respond to that better than I can. So just in summary, what you as a council sort of need to decide if you want to move forward is referendum, yes or no. If yes, you try and do it now and get it in this fall, or pursue a broader education effort and move it to a future period. One question or multiple questions, staff would recommend one. The wording, we have a head start on that if you're interested, as provided by the city attorney's office, Chris Smith in particular. And then if you have questions about the numbers, interested in seeing if there's a way to move the number down, we've got some information available to do it. So that's really the background I wanted to provide. The question is now, since if there's guidance you want to give us, because you want for your next meeting a resolution that says yes, go to referendum, getting some motion or directive to move that direction so we have that prepared for your agenda, for your packet the next meeting, would be useful, because without the direction now, we're more likely to present something then that requires too much work to craft it if you don't like the way it came in or something like that, or you wished it were smaller numbers. There's not a lot of time between now and the 28th. Obviously, if you got something you didn't like on the 21st and wanted it rewritten in a certain way, you could do that and have a special meeting and still meet the deadline of the 28th. So with that, I'm open to questions if you have any.
Alderman, Mayor.
First off, can we get a copy of that, Mark?
Yes.
And secondly, what does a referendum cost us, roughly?
If I could defer to the clerk for that, because she might have because carried with the regular election, I don't know what the impact would be.
I have it in the council packet of the time we were going to refer to the dark stores, and I'm thinking it's probably closer to 2,000 when you're...
We're discussing what the potential cost could be to put the referendum question on the ballot. It's somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000.
It's closer to $2,000 because of the number of ballots. We have to pay our portion on every ballot. The dark store estimate was a lot lower because it was going to be August, but the turnout in November...
it'll be higher.
It will be higher. And then we also will have to pay for our portion of programming, where normally we would not pay anything because we would have nothing on the November ballot, but because we have a large referendum on there, we would pay for our portion of programming. Okay. So in items where we would not pay anything because we have an item on the ballot, we will pay portions of it.
So. Okay.
And if I can add to that relative to cost, if you do look to pursue a referendum, you may recall when you approved hiring the firm to help with the survey and development of the public safety needs assessment. I think their proposal at that time was sort of a minimum of about $25,000 to help with those next steps, that if you decide to pursue it, to help with develop the educational materials and the social media things, the website identifiers, any mailers, and that's probably on the low end, given that some of our results were sort of 50-50, you would probably want to be a little more assertive with that education campaign. So you're probably going to spend a minimum another $25,000 now if you want to do it. Now recognize that's maybe just a delay cost. If you say, well, okay, it's not now, but next year we will, you're still going to have that cost at some point. But immediately for this year's budget, you'd probably anticipate a minimum of that number.
And if we went to referendum now and we failed, are we locked out of another referendum for a certain amount of time, or can we?
I don't believe so. Yeah, I've seen school districts do them multiple years back to back. That question wasn't specifically asked of the city attorney, but I believe based on the nature of the discussion, he would have brought it up.
Okay.
Had that been the case.
What's the spring option?
There is no spring option. If you read the statute, you will think there is, but the department, since the question requires you to identify the next tax levy, specifically, statutory requires you include that, and the DOR does not release that number till August 15th, you have no way to do it, even though the statute says you can. The Department of Revenue says, yeah, you can't, because you need this number, and we don't publish it till August 15th.
Okay, Mark, Sue wants to chime in.
Some just thoughts listening. I mean, have worked on hundreds and hundreds of referendum projects. So some advice for you. Unsuccessful referendums, then when, you know, municipalities or school districts go back out, I always caution them as far as something has to change. So if you go out and you say, here's how much, and then you're unsuccessful, and you just go at it again, the best line is, what part of no didn't you understand? So, you know, if you say, we're tight, you know, it's close, but we're going to go for it, I think you have to go in with the mentality that if unsuccessful, we know that we'll probably need to reduce or change our strategy, if you will, or what the impact is going to be in a future election. So just it's just a piece to just keep in mind as you're making. So our goal always is, I always say, you know, failing referendums isn't healthy. I mean, just, you know, for school systems, it's not healthy. For morale of police and fire and EMS staff, I mean, kind of that message, although it often is about tax impact. So just a piece to keep in mind as you're making your decision.
Just so you know, Council, there are options. We spoke actually in a meeting previously. You know, 9 firefighters are needed. That's actually 3, right? We need 1 per shift. So there's 3 = 1. So that's where the number came in for 9. Is there flexibility, just like you saw that there was flexibility with the police chief? There may be. All those numbers equate out to dollars that bring in your total levy number down. So where's your comfort level, and where do you see a potential favorable vote? So that's where your think, you know, your discussion and thinking need to go to say, hey, yes, we want to go, but if we're committed to go forward, we also, each of us must be committed to really put the pedal to the gas to go into your aldermanic districts and really educate and try to get a hold of your constituents out there. So good luck, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, no way. I mean, I've had town hall meetings in all the communities that I represent on the county board. 54,000 people sending, I mean, advertising it, and a handful shows up. There ain't no way I'm going to schedule, no way, town hall meetings and for a district. How are you going to get that out there? We're going to have mailers put out there by you know, we're going to pay for these types of things? Forget that. No way.
Well, that's what we have to decide as a group. Alderman.
Well, Mayor. Just to your comment about flexibility, if it's got to be all and we say no, then there's either flexibility or there's not. My question for Mark is, over the last year or so, we've approved hundreds of houses, hundreds of residential houses, new subdivisions, 63, 69, 83. That's going to increase our levy. Do we know how much that will increase our levy for the city part? I mean, I know I'm not expecting you to give me the number right now, but that's going to be up above. That's new construction. Plus, we have got the industrial park going in. Plus, we've approved apartments. We've got more room there for new construction.
Yes and no. So
some are in TIFs.
The stuff in TIF will.
I get that. But the other.
But so the residential subdivisions that aren't. You have to remember. You also received a budget presentation last year and again this year in the summer that said, we've got a $1.2 million issue to resolve for current staff. So. And part of that was, I think the estimate you received in June had an estimated increase in levy, net new construction, of about 0.5%. That got us, I think, 150,000 to 200,000, and that was already taken, counted into still having a 1.2 million. Now, a preliminary number was published that moves that up to 0.8%. That's excellent. 0.3% more, another 60, 70,000 added to that. Still a long way from resolving. So even if these houses start building and that 0.8 goes up to the 2 and 2.5 and 3% net new construction that was experienced in the heydays before 2008, and again that period in the 80s, there's been periods where the economy did that. That's the kind of growth you need to maintain your existing services. That's why for the last few years, Paul and I have spent a lot of time trying to make sure you are understanding sort of the financial mechanisms we were using to be able to still maintain our current level of services under the state's levy limit requirements. There's been a lot of financial machinations to be able to do that. So I don't think it would be reasonable to expect the residential subdivisions of even a couple hundred lots to solve a problem to fund this kind of cost. If you look back at this table, the first year expenditure, the first full year expenditure for 9 new officers, when you count all the benefits, everything that comes with it, you're looking at around that $1 million. That's not going to be picked up in new residential construction when much of the larger stuff is in TIFs. I mean, those TIFs, they're done for a reason. That money will become a solution someday, and those things wouldn't have happened if we didn't do the TIF. So I'm not complaining about TIFs because I know they're a tool that worked, but that's a slow play. So I think your answer is I don't think you can rely on that.
Okay, just one more question then.
Okay.
Between you and the chief and Paul, you don't need to come up, just a quick question. Have you talked about it all as something going forward, possibility of a SAFER grant? We would still need to come up with our share, which I think is 25% the first year, and it increases after that. But I just want to throw that out there for consideration. I don't know where this is going to go, but if it doesn't go this way, then SAFER grant is something that strongly consider, and then we'd still have to find our match.
Yeah, that was something we had in last year's budget for the police department,
right,
for a limited number of the staff. And the concern with that is, yes, it increases your early year costs, but our $1.2 million problem now inflates quicker than it otherwise would be as we take over a greater share of those costs from the Fed.
And that wouldn't be for 9. That would have to be for something less, more flexible, something less that the tax new construction might be able to fund. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think the police chief isn't here, but I recall when we talked about the police grant that we didn't get, it was because he felt the federal money was targeting communities of a different nature than ours.
Mm-hmm. Correct, because you still have to be awarded that as well.
Yeah, I understand.
It's not a given out there. Dan, are you finished? Alderman Barber.
I'm willing to try to communicate with my district about the pros and cons to this, and I think that's something that can be developed educationally with more education or more or some more pieces with what we already have communicated. People are aware of it right now because of the survey. So I think to put it off or not follow up would be, I think people want to see what's going to happen. Now, is there possibilities that on the referendum we could say you have the option of a zero staff increase in the police department, three officers or six officers or nine? Is there a checkoff kind of format for that?
That gets to where I had listed there. You can have an individual question or multiple questions. So, yes, you could put a question is, would you support this much levy for three? Would you support this much levy for six? They will all be separate ones.
I'd be in favor of that.
And there may be some way to tier them, but the staff and the mayor, I know, discussed that and felt that you're going to run into a couple different problems. What if multiple ones are approved?
Right, yeah.
What if people select, you split the yes votes because they'll vote yes for one and not for another, whereas they might have voted. So staff and the mayor felt very strongly that if you're going to pursue it, your best strategy was to have one clear question.
Because otherwise, Mike,
could
what
ask,
happens...
Could we they, get some input from the referendum people on that?
Mike, what you also do is you grab it. The natural voter is going to gravitate down to
the
lowest
one. The other thing is it just causes, in my experience, which may be different from theirs, confusion of the, so as a citizen goes to the polls, then they start to go, okay, if I'm voting for this, my tax impact is, I need to pay money for this and for this, and then you lose yes votes in essence if people are in at different levels. So we've seen school districts do that and go out and then end up very unsuccessful because people are confused, like yes, yes, and then again, would both pass or how would that work? So in essence, it's in our experience, again, I'm just giving our opinion, you kind of look at here's what we need, here's what we feel the tax threshold of our community is,
and
then we
go for it. Thank you.
So, Alderman Taylor.
In the past, I know that maybe the law has changed. I'm not sure if school districts are different than cities, but you could put a referendum question as an advisory one and then still do it if it loses. I mean, that's how it could. I don't think that works this way. I mean, if it fails, it fails. We can't then come back and say, we're doing this. This is almost like direct legislation in a way, correct?
If you did an advisory, then
right.
In your next election,
right.
You could go
but right, but this one, but these, this essentially is, it's direct legislation, so you're in or out, yeah. So, school districts sometimes use that. I don't know if does school districts have that where it's direct or no. This is just the municipalities have this based on this levy limits and levy laws.
They don't have advisory.
They don't have advisory.
Yes.
So what happens is we can, we ask this question and it's either it passes or it fails. So if you have multiple ones, then that's an issue. Now, what you could do is here you're combining two. Why not pit police versus fire? Who's going to sell it better? That's a possibility if you're going to do it instead of doing it combined. And I can tell you probably where that goes just because the dollar amount's going to be different. Two officers compared to nine firefighters or three officers compared to nine. But it's also who does a better job of selling it. Now, I haven't been sold by either department to whether or not we should do this or not. I mean, I haven't. I've had that conversation numerous times with the mayor, with the chief, the fire chief, I would say. He's more difficult on me, I think, or maybe more difficult on him. So I don't know. I'm not prepared to give any recommendations. I don't see this going anywhere. I don't see this passing. I don't think we have enough time to, convince our residents. I understand, social media, that's just a portion of it, it's louder. I mean, it's just like changing a radio station from rock to country. The people that call the radio station a bitch are the ones that are pissed, not the ones that are happy. So, Alderman Barber, you I haven't got any of those phone calls where people come up to me and saying, hey, we love this. I'm hearing the opposite. So, I mean, I'm open. I'm one vote up here. You know, I suppose we can continue this conversation, but I'm not prepared to put to referendum. I don't think I'll get there in a week or 2 weeks either.
Okay. Thanks, so. Steve. Alderman Barber.
I don't think anybody has honestly come and said that they love the idea. I think they understand that in order to have coverage and service, they'd be in favor. They'd be in favor of entertaining it. Nobody really loves an increase. But at the same time, I think it'd be fair to, I still think it's fair to put it to the voters.
Thank you, Mike. Any other questions? We've got to give...